Well, this morning's message I've titled is God with Us. God with people like you and me. Now, that might sound a little mundane to you, but if we could grasp the enormity of that, if we could understand what a terrible separation happened between the human race and God and the consequences of it, well, surely if we look around us, we have seen some of the consequences, have we not? That to separate ourselves from the divine creator, from the one who made us, has caused no end of chaos in this world, has caused no end of heartache in people, has caused the destruction of our very planet, and the destruction of so many lives, the hurts, the terrible things that people have done to one another down through the ages. And it always, and you know, I stress this, and sometimes I know you might say, well, gee, the guy is always talking about sin or you know, how bad the people can be. But I do this because I think it's so important for us to understand that what happens to us is that we look out at other people and we see where, you know, they have come short. But oh, how important it is that we see ourselves as we really are, that we see our sin. Because if we do, then we will appreciate why Jesus died on that cross. You might say, well, I'm glad Jesus Christ died for those addicts over there because they needed him. But that was the very fault, the very problem that the Pharisees and the religious rulers had, is that they thought they were so good that they didn't really need Jesus. They didn't really want him. He was upsetting their apple cart. He was changing their agenda. Well, I want you to understand something. God wants to change your agenda. He really does. And I mean everybody. Because all of us need to get readjusted. Kristen does readjustments all the time, right? And that's a wonderful thing. And people need it. And it can come in and they're out of adjustment. And somehow, and I have no idea how, but gets them back in adjustment. Things line up the way they're supposed to. And that's a great ministry to the body. But the Lord Jesus wants to get us back into adjustment because something has gone out of adjustment with the entire human race, including you and me. And only the Lord Jesus can adjust things the way they're supposed to be. And only he can keep us in that place where we are constantly being adjusted by him and put in the right way with God. We need to get our souls lined up with the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's willing to do that, and he's passionate about it. And somehow he finds a way, in spite of ourselves, and in spite of how constantly we make up our own agendas and go our own way, he is so full of grace and he is so awesome and powerful that somehow he can bring us back on track. But this incredible event of Jesus coming into the world is the catalyst. It's the very person that can cause this to happen in anybody's life. Without Jesus coming, without him taking on humanity, without him taking on the curse, as we'll see in a little bit, there wouldn't be any hope for anyone. It is not your goodness that gives you a right relationship with God. It is his goodness that gives you a right relationship with God. It is not what you do that brings you into a right relationship with God. It's what he does that brings you into a right relationship with God. And that is always the starting point. A right relationship with God, having our souls adjusted to be in the right place with God, then enables us to have a right relationship with the world around us. And that is why it's so vital and so important. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. We're going to look at some different verses this morning as we consider some of these truths. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, that is the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. This is quoted from the book of Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, written 400 years before Jesus ever came on the scene. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her, that is, he did not have sexual relationships with her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Well, the phrase that is in this passage that I wanted to think about a bit this morning, along with some other phrases about the word us, is found in Matthew 1:23. It says they call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. This was God's passion, to come and be with us. It was God coming to be with the human race. The human race that had chosen to separate itself from God, nevertheless, it's like the human race had put a wall up in a way to say, no, we don't want you to reign over us. We don't want you to be in our lives. But God breaks through that bubble, that barrier, and comes and becomes one of us so that he can identify with us in every way. So much so that in the book of Hebrews it says, he was tested in all points like we were, but yet he was without sin. So God came to be with us. Literally, physically, God came to earth. Your understanding of who Jesus is so vital. Some people think that Jesus was just came into being. When Mary had the baby, that's when Jesus started. But we have to understand who Jesus really is. That Jesus is God himself. And that the Bible over and over again explains that's who he is. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, referring to Jesus Christ, it says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And that is what the Father says to the Son in Hebrews chapter 1, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. So when I understand who Jesus really is, then I understand this is not just a prophet, though he was that. This is not just a great healer or teacher, he was all of that, but he was God who became a man, who humbled himself. And according to the book of Philippians, he humbled himself and became found in fashion as a man and humbled himself. This is who it is. So God with us is a literal truth. Where? And that is why there had to be a conception without a man. Because it had to be the Spirit of God caused Mary to become pregnant on the inside with the very Son of God, Jesus Christ. The title the Son of God doesn't take away from the fact that he is God. It is just for our understanding of who he was. And so this entrance of Jesus Christ into the world is not probably how any one of us would have done it. If I was God and I was going to come down and visit my people, I just might come down on that chariot of fire. I might set up my big throne and have everybody come and bow down to me. But let's get the right picture of who God is. Many people have a picture of God as some horrible dictator, but he isn't. And tonight, as I'm getting to Dingwall, I think, we'll be looking at a phrase about that he is the tender mercies of God and the dayspring of on high who comes to visit us. The wonder of who God is. So many people have characterized God in so many wrong ways that it's hard to get rid of the clutter and see God as he really is. But if you want to get rid of the clutter, if you want to see God who he really is, then read the Gospels and discover who Jesus Christ is. Discover, yes, that he could be angry at sin, and yes, that he has come to judge sin, and yes, he predicted that there would be judgment fall, and terrible judgment. But you look at him weeping over people, standing over the city of Jerusalem and weeping, say, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who stones the prophets. How long I would have wanted to gather you as a hen would gather his chicks under her wing, but you would not. The passion of Jesus Christ, the tenderness of him, the Bible says, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that a bruised reed he wouldn't break, and smoking flax he wouldn't put out. The smallest fire, he won't put it out. Any desire that there is in you, even if you're a bruised reed, which a reed's pretty weak to start with, but he says a bruised reed, he won't crush that. There is a wonderful Savior, friends. His name is Jesus Christ, and he came to be with us. God with us. Oh, to understand the enormity of that, because it translates itself not only in God being with us when Jesus came, because Jesus came to earth to be with us, but that was only for 33 years, and then he went back to heaven. So where's God with us now? Well, he has done something marvelous in that he has sent himself, because again, there is the Father, there is the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is as much God, and if you go carefully study the Bible, you'll see him referred to as God, as a person, and he's actually called the Spirit of Christ, because everything the Father does and says, the Son does and says. Everything the Son does and says, the Spirit does and says. And so, the person of Jesus Christ, and he took on humanity, and he took humanity back to heaven with him, and he's still with humanity, because now he is the man in heaven on behalf of the human race. But he sends his Holy Spirit to be in us. So he sends God to be in us, not just with us, but in us. That is a pretty good with. If God himself comes to indwell a person like you and me, God of the universe in communion with people. Everything hinges on this, friends. God's plan was this. It's not complicated. Relationships between God and humanity have been broken. And because of that, relationships between human beings have been broken. That's a simple picture, isn't it? Now, what has happened? God has come to restore a relationship between man and himself. And when that's restored, then mankind, those who are restored with relationship with God, are seeking and loving and desirous to see relationships restored with one another. That's God's way, and that's God's plan. And so, God with us is the result of us. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the verse that I mentioned earlier, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." To us. There's a reason for it. It was given for you. You're one of the us. To you a child was born. To you a son was given. To you was given the opportunity to come into a right relationship with God. To you is given that opportunity. Now, there is a sense or a responsibility that does fall on us. What will I do? What will I do with Jesus Christ? Will I receive his welcome? Will I welcome him into my life? Will I welcome his authority? Will I welcome his control? Or will I go my own way and do my own thing? There are always consequences to our actions, friends. And people who come up with ideas, fanciful ideas, that you can do whatever you want and there are no consequences, don't live in a real world, because we do reap what we sow. We do, don't we? It's reality. We must face reality, but to understand that the reality of God coming to mend the fences, to bring us back into the fold, to restore us to himself, and to restore us to one another, that's the reality I want. And that's the reality that I want to see happen in people's lives. That's what's important. Buildings, churches, all of these are just means to an end. And that's what the end goal is, friends. Restoration with God and restoration with one another. That's the end goal. The rest doesn't really matter too much. What do we find? We find that this one, the son who has been given, the child who has been born, the government will be upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. You see? He's God. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. That's one of the titles of Jesus. The Everlasting Father, and of course, the Prince of Peace. And at the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God will perform it, will bring it to pass. And it starts with one person at a time. It's one person at a time who says yes to Jesus Christ. One person at a time who embraces the Lord Jesus and says, yes, Lord, I need you. Not part of you, but all of you. I need your agenda for my life, Lord. I need you to be in control. And I'm willing to surrender and to let you have your way. Praise God. But it was for you. Understand that it's for you. To us, a child is born. This wonderful passage in Luke chapter 1, which is what I'll be speaking on in Dingwall, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. This is what God's plan is. This is what he wants to do. He wants to light up your life. You can put all the lights you want on your house or on your tree or whatever. But God wants to do something much more important, and that's light up your life. And praise God, he's able to do it. Wonderful. Gives light to those who sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. I need that kind of guidance. And so do you. So do all of us. We need to be guided by God. To give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of our sins. Isn't that wonderful? That's what he does. Praise the Lord. For you know, 2 Corinthians 8:9, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was yet rich, yet for your sake, for you, for us, he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. That's a beautiful verse. That just puts it in a nutshell. God, who has had everything, gave up everything so that you could have everything. Isn't that something? That's what it is. And the real things, okay? The real things that matter, the things that last, the things that are important, the treasures of heaven are not the streets of gold, friends. The treasures of heaven are the fruit of the Spirit, are the characters that have been transformed into something beautiful by the Spirit of God, where love and joy and peace and kindness and gentleness reigns. Look at these verses as we consider God with us and for us, and watch for the for us that are in these verses. He gave himself, what? For us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. To redeem us, to buy us back from lawless deeds, and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for what? For good works, of course. This isn't pie in the sky when you die alone. Thank God that's there. But it's more than that. It's pie now. Real pie. It's real life now. It's real love now. It's real caring now. It's real transformations. It's real deliverance from sin's power and its clutches. It's real change so that jealousy and hatred and anger and bitterness, of which I had plenty in my own life, God takes them out and transforms us. And walk in Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us. There it is again, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him, this is the Father made the Son, he made him who knew no sin, that was Jesus. He never sinned. He never did one thing wrong. What happened to him? To be sin for us. Jesus became sin at the cross, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. At the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ was forsaken by the Father. Should never have happened in one respect. But he was forsaken because he became sin for us. He took on himself your sin and mine. And as a result of that, we become the righteousness of God in him. What he does is he does a trade. He says, I'll take your sin. I'll take your rebellion. I'll take the horror of sin on myself, and I will trade. I will take this from you, and I will give you my righteousness. I'll give you my perfect standing with the Father. It's a gift. I'll give you a perfect standing with the Father. Do you have a dread of facing God? He says, I'll take that away. Why? Because I'll give you my righteousness. So when the Father looks at you, he sees my righteousness, sees my perfection. That's what it says it'll do. That's quite a trade. That's what it says in this verse, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that we were, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Look at Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For us, he became a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. This was a curse written in the Old Testament, and Jesus fulfilled it as he hung on a tree for us. He took that curse. He took that payment. He took that that punishment that you and I actually deserve for our sins. Justice is a real thing, friends. Love and justice met at the cross. And that is the incredible story of the cross. That the justice of God, which must be poured out for sin, he must punish sin. That is justice. But oh, God looks at the human race and he says, I must judge the human race, but I love the human race, but I cannot be unjust. How then can a just God somehow deliver unjust people and remain just? By coming himself, by taking my place, by taking your place, and taking the full justice and punishment that's deserved for you on his own shoulders, so there's no punishment left for you. For us. For us is what he did here. Redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Galatians 3:13. We already read these two verses. Praise God. Friends, God with us. Do you understand it? May you grasp a little more of it. May I grasp a little bit more of it. I love this quote from a book called Christ is All. The Lord Jesus received is holiness begun. The Lord Jesus cherished is holiness advancing. But the Lord Jesus counted upon as never absent would be holiness complete. When it says that God will be with us, this isn't like here today, gone tomorrow stuff. This is permanent. This is, I'm with you all the way. For here's what he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's what he said. I will never leave you. So, but there has to be a starting point, friends. There has to be that point where I receive him as my own Lord and Savior, where I welcome him to come in, where I give him the unconditional control of my life. That's the starting point. And there, as I put my faith in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for me, as I accept his righteousness as a gift, because the Bible says it's a gift, the gift of God is eternal life. And as I receive that gift, then I find myself cherishing the Lord Jesus Christ. Receiving him first, then cherishing him. But oh, to begin by faith to count on him as never absent. To be able to say, when I wake up in the morning, God is with me. Not in arrogance, but in humility, that God is with me. Look at him. The Lord Jesus in Hebrews 7:26 says, the high priest was fitting for us, who is holy and harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. He is fitting for us. It's just what we need. It fits perfectly what Jesus Christ has done. Hebrews 9:24, for Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, that is in heaven, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, and now to appear in the presence of God for us. This is what he's doing. In Hebrews chapter 7, it says he's ever living to make intercession for us. Look, in 1 Corinthians 1:30, it tells this, but of him you are in Christ Jesus. In Christ, this is what you are. You become the wisdom of God. You become righteousness. You become sanctification. And you become redemption, all because of Jesus Christ. What do those words mean? Well, the wisdom of God means I see things as they really are. God gives us his wisdom. Man's wisdom isn't much good. Believe me. But the wisdom of God sees things rightly and makes right judgments and right calls. And the righteousness of God, that gives you a perfect standing in the sight of God. And the sanctification of God, sanctification means to be made holy. It's the transformation of becoming more and more like Jesus in your character. That's what he gives us. And redemption means that he's bought you, that he's rescued you. All of this is because God has chosen to be with us. In Colossians 1:27, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is in Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's God in us. With us, God in us, Christ in you. And look in Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. God understands our frame. It's not that God's saying, if you want to be a Christian, you have to be perfect. He knows you're not. But he says, if you want to be a Christian, trust my perfection. Trust my work. Let me sanctify you. Let me work in you. And as he does, he understands our weaknesses. It says here, for we don't know what we should pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There are times when we can't pray. There are times when we are so overwhelmed. We can't even touch base with God. But God looks after it. The Spirit does it for us. He prays for us. And he groans for us. I love that. Because it tells us he cares about the real pains and the real heartaches that you have. There's a psalm, a phrase in one of the psalms. I think it's Psalm, well, I'm not sure, but I know the phrase. It says, when I am overwhelmed, then lead me to the rock that is higher than I. It doesn't say, when I'm overwhelmed, I'm going to come to the rock. It says, lead me. Because I'm so overwhelmed, I can't even get there. Lead me, Lord. And he will. Praise God. That's what his nature is. And so we have this glorious passage in Romans 8:31 on. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. That is, he is looking after our interests. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who what? Loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, that's a mouthful. And it's a mouthful of promise and a mouthful of blessing. If you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, then he is for you 1,000% in every way. Oh, let him have his way with you, I encourage you. Let him in. There was no room in the inn. May there be room in your heart. God wants to be with you, friends, more than you know, and more than I know even now. So more and more, Lord, be with me. More and more, Lord, take the reins and the controls. More and more, let me understand what it is that God has come to be with me, with you. What a wonderful salvation. What a glorious gospel. God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Going back, just to conclude here, I want to go back to the Gospel of Matthew for a second and look at this passage. And I want you to notice something here as it speaks about the name of Jesus. Matthew 1:21, she will bring forth a son, you will call his name Jesus. Does anybody know what the name Jesus means? Names have meanings. Pardon me? Messiah. No, Messiah is Christ. Christ and Messiah are the same words. Christ or Messiah means the anointed one from God. Pardon me? No, Emmanuel means God with us. What's that? God who saves. The name Jesus is the exact same name as Joshua. Joshua is the Hebrew. Jesus is the Greek. Or Aramaic. So when it says Joshua in the Old Testament, Jesus is the equivalent name of Joshua. And so the name Joshua was used in the Old Testament many times, and even the name Jesus would have been used in the New Testament. He wasn't the only person named Jesus. You know that. Even in Acts chapter 4, it says, there is no other name given among heaven whereby we must be saved. And then he identifies it as Jesus of Nazareth. Specifically, this one, this person, Jesus. And so when he is told, when the revelation is given that you will bring forth a son and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Do you see the title? God with us will save his people from their sins. That's what he was, God who saves. So I want you to know that when he was given the names, there's two names given here. One is Jesus and one is Emmanuel. Emmanuel was more of a title. Jesus was his name. He shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. But his name was Jesus. God who saves is God with us. You cannot have God with us if you don't have God who saves. Do you see? Because of that separation that has happened between the human race and God, there is no way that God can be with us unless God saves us. That's why the cross was so vital. That's why the coming of Jesus was so important. God who saves, his name, is given the title God with us. Because he saves us, he can be with us, and we can be with him. Praise the Lord. That's what Christmas is all about, friends. God with us. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for its truth. Thank you, Lord, for its promises. And thank you those promises are true right now. And that we can enter and remain in a glorious relationship with God. And that it will gloriously transform us in our relationships with one another. We know, Lord, if there's no transformation in our